Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Today I want to talk a little bit to the whole city, in particular St. Louis, about storms. Whenever a storm comes, there's this temperature inversion that starts happening. You guys have felt it, and the temperature changes, and then it gets kind of dark. There are times in life where shadows are there and darkness is there, and it's a good time for the flesh to get naturally just afraid. Anybody ever been scared? Anybody ever been scared? Anybody ever went downstairs and you started walking upstairs and there was an invisible monster chasing you and you ran upstairs really quick? Come on, be honest with me, guys. And then you shut the door and it stopped there at the door. It's a natural thing to be afraid. Business people are afraid. Moms are afraid. Dads are afraid. Kids are afraid. It's natural. It's human. But then there's the spirit of fear that comes in. And the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The quickest way to get an unsound mind is to live your life in fear. And when storms come, this tends to happen. Mark chapter 4, it says, "In that day, when evening had came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along." It's a good idea to take Jesus along. "And he was in the boat with them, and there they were heading, and there were other boats besides them, and there was a furious storm that came up, and the waves broke apart the boat." This is bad. "It nearly swamped all of them, and Jesus was in the stern of the boat sleeping." Notice how God is there, not clueless, but he's comforted because he knows, "I said I'm going to the other side." "Then the disciples came to him, and they woke him up, saying, 'Teacher, teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?' Jesus actually right then gets up, and he speaks to the wind, and he speaks to the waves, and he rebuked it." Number one, know that you can talk to stuff. Anybody ever talk to your car? It's dumb, stupid car. Hate this dishwasher. Right? So you speak to it. So Jesus spoke to it. So we can learn there in the middle of the storm, we can start speaking to the storm and it calmed down. But the point that I really want to let you know is that even though Jesus was in the boat, here's my point, they still had a storm. Storms happen. Look at your neighbor and say, storms just happen. And the enemy tries to get you to think it's because that you're not perfect and you haven't done right, but you can be doing all the right things for all the right reason and still the enemy comes. In fact, I think that you're fought the hardest when you're actually doing the thing that God called you to do because he doesn't want you to do that. Another scripture about storms, in John 16, verse 33, it says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace," period. You may have peace. That's a promise. Everybody shout, "That's a promise." And it says, "So in me you might have peace." It says, "In this world you will have trouble," period. Another promise. How many of y'all could do without that promise? I mean, I don't see anybody like, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you go out in the lobby today? We've got our tribulation bracelets. We want to give you one." How many of y'all, they ain't signing up for that. You're like, "Hey, homie, don't do that. I don't want that." But that's a promise. Jesus said, "In this world, I'm going to give you peace," period. "And also, you're going to have tribulation," period. The enemy is always fighting us, trying to wear us down when we're weathering storms. But then the rest of the verse says, "Hey, in this world, you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So Jesus is in the boat. They know they're going to the other side. But at the same time, there's trouble and trial. Might be you today. Maybe yours doesn't look like Paris's house. In fact, that little girl digging through that right now, she's actually, I didn't know what to do with everybody, so they're all at my house. This morning, I woke up and it's just all African-American people coming downstairs. I've got little babies upstairs. I got just a family. My wife's in Arizona, and I got a new family. What do you do in trouble and trial? Yesterday, Shay Shay, the little girl digging through here, I didn't know her at all. I met her like two times. I didn't even know if she's saved. I didn't want to ask the question. But yesterday morning, after the storm was on, you know, that night, the next day, I hear Stephen Furtick upstairs on a podcast yelling how to make it through the storm, how God's in the midst of the storm. So then I actually videoed it and sent it to Stephen and said, Stephen, you're yelling upstairs about getting through the storm, told him the story. Then he texted me back and said, you don't know how bad I needed to hear that somebody needed to hear what I said. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen to that. So the devil comes to discourage all of us. The devil comes to tempt all of us. But here's the thing. The more of the words you hear, the more of the Bible that you receive, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So then when a storm comes at you, you come back at the storm and say, oh, not today, David said. I come to you with spear and a sword. Because everybody's going to have a storm. Everybody's going to have an obstacle. It might be brain tumors that he overcame. Looks better than ever. I just want everybody to see you. Just walk up on stage just real fast. Just because the whole world needs to see this. If you have a brain tumor and you come out looking this good looking, I just really think that we need to honor the good looks for a minute. I think that we ought to see what he did. Look at this cat right here. Holla at you, boy. What do you think of that right there? Come on. The devil thought he was going to die. The devil said, you're not going to make it. The devil said, you're going to have brain surgery. You'll never be right again. Look at this joker up here today. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Give God praise up in this house today. Oh, your grace, Lord, your grace. Man, that felt good, didn't it? I asked you a question. Did that feel good to you? Psalms 13, verse 2, it says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? In a storm, you're going to wrestle with your thoughts. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And then the devil comes and says, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. And you're ugly. It's hereditary. You just start piling on stuff. And then the inner me will say, oh, yeah, that's just the way it is. We have to wrestle with the thoughts, but when you come to church, that's why I try to get you in a group, then you can face the obstacle with the whole tribe. That's why I say when you fight one of us, you got to fight the whole trailer park. So point one is storms are inevitable. The storm that Jesus faces with them is inevitable. It's going to happen. But the Bible said, don't sorrow in it. In John, we see another situation, chapter 11. It says, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that with God, whatever you ask for, it'll happen. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She was thinking, okay, he is dead. Jesus comes and said, he's not dead. And I can see her going, hey, I know you're the Son of God and all. I know you're God's little boy. But the fact is, he is dead. He has no pulse. He's not breathing. He's dead. This tells me that God looks at death a little different than we do. So this situation that looks dead, that looks hopeless, the storm is inevitable. You have to look at it and say, hey, wait a minute. If Jesus shows up, now Martha is talking to Jesus, and instead of praising him for what he's going to do, she's griping at him for what he did not do. I got a statement, a leadership statement that I always say. You get what you brag on, not what you nag on. So I'm an attaboy, good job. I'm not going to tell my employee, you're dumb, you're stupid, can't believe how incapable you are, incompetent you are. No, that would make me look stupid because I hired them. Can I, you just see what I'm saying? So you got to speak life into your kids, life into yourself, life into the situation. And now Martha, if she's in a storm, she engages her mouth to negativity instead of saying, Jesus, I know that you are the resurrection of the life. I know that you can get him from the dead. I'm so glad you came. That old statement says he might not come when you want him, but he always shows up because he's like my wife. He's never early. Never early. I promise when Jesus comes back, I'll have to tell him, can you give us 5 minutes? Just 5 minutes. She'll be ready. But any guys ever heard 5 minutes? And you know for sure that is not 5 minutes. Number two, the point is, storms are unpredictable. You can't predict it. Nobody has said, hey, I'm going to schedule the storm. Tuesday would be a great time to lose my electricity. Monday would be a good time for the roof to come off the house. Tuesday, would be a good time to have the gas shut off. Nobody can schedule that. It just happens, and when it happens, it's inevitable. Jeremiah 4, verse 20, it says, disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. And in an instant, my tents are destroyed, and my shelter in a moment is gone. So when the storm happens, you're watching in St. Louis today, and you're sitting there looking at your house or your family member's house, and you say, what are we going to do now? The only thing we can do is trust God. The only thing we can do is speak hopes, words of life. The only thing that we can do is say, you know what? I know with God, all things are possible. He's going to turn it around for the good. And your brain's going to say it's not going to work. And you got to shut your mind off because you know your mind is a mess. And you know your mind is little. And does it need to? Anybody ever had your mind wander off? Is your mind like mine and it's too little to be wandering off by itself? It's like, come back here. Control our mind. So when the storm hits, we've got to decide, are we going to panic or are we going to praise? Are we going to panic or are we going to praise? I'm a pilot, right? I've had some stupid stuff happen where, like, things broke in the plane. The whole trim elevator broke one time. She's not here at this service. She'll be at the next one. Lamont was in the plane. He's in heaven now, not from the flying situation. But all of a sudden it broke and the whole thing spun out. We're way in the air, probably 12,000-13,000 feet. And that yoke just started, I had to hold on to it. And I knew he was scared. And I looked at him and I said, we're going to be fine. Now my brain was going, we're going to die. But you got to stay calm in the midst of the storm. You can panic or you can praise. You can panic or you can have a plan. And the plan is to stay calm no matter what. If God brought you through this, he's going to bring you through that. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Point number three is storms are impartial. No one is immune to them. Don't think that you're special because, you know, I'm not going to have a storm. We all have storms. Joseph, coat of many colors. Storms. Remember that? Thrown into slavery. Sexual allegation that wasn't true. Goes to jail for that. Comes out long term. A lot of problems before the promotion. Daniel, God's man of faith and power. Thrown into a hungry den of lions. Martha, we just read the story. Her and Mary lose their best friend. Lazarus is now dead. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters whose you are. And when they find out who you're with, it makes a difference. The Son of God is living and abiding on the inside of you. God's with you. Think about that. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The next point would be, point number four, is storms are temporary. Storms never last. How many times, let me ask you this question, Fairview, Ferguson, everybody. How many have ever worried yourself sick about something and then it didn't even happen? Try that again. Got a lot of liars in Sunset Hills. We're going to give them another shot. Anybody ever stayed up in the middle of the night and your brain was solving all the problems, couldn't hardly sleep, and then you finally passed out from exhaustion and you woke up and you can't even remember what it was you were solving? Raise your hand if that's you. We've all done that. But storms are temporary. It won't last. Tough times never last. Tough people do. So we're going to get up this week. We're going to clean up the bricks. We're going to sweep up the streets. We're going to feed the hungry. We're going to help clothe the naked. We're spending money. We're here. Come on, somebody. Are you going with me on this deal? We're going to help people. We don't have time not to. Temporary. And it's inconvenient. I'm asking you to kind of, in my last 6 minutes and 28 seconds, I'm going to go to Earth City and preach, then I'm going to preach here, and I'm going to come back here and preach, then I'm going to go to Earth City and preach. I got a bunch of stuff to do, so I have to stay on the time schedule. But I got 6 minutes to try to put a bow on this. Getting close to 5 minutes and 59 seconds at this point. Sometimes we get so preoccupied with ourselves, we can't help anybody else. So get this. I'm doing all the stuff downtown St. Louis last night. Finally get home. Church is going to start in 45 minutes, and I pull through my street, and my 93-year-old neighbor is trying to clean up the storm at his house. 93, and he's got a little chainsaw on an electric line, electric chainsaw. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, God, no, I do not have time to do that. I don't have time to do it. Then I got down to the driveway of my house, and I knew, you're going back. You're going back. I'm like, I don't even have a sermon done. Have any memorized my points? I'm going back. So now if you follow me on Instagram, I Instagram pretty much everything in my life. And I started heading there, and I said, this is my 93-year-old neighbor. He's like, you got too much on your plate to do this. 3 days ago, I'd never met him. I only lived there about a year. I met him the first time three days ago. To which he says to me, how are those churches in Florida and Illinois and St. Louis? 93. I didn't know he knew me. I watch you all the time. You're a good preacher. Now I've got this in my head. I got to go help him. So I go change something. He goes, you got a lot on your plate. And I said, well, I'm about to put something else on my plate. And I cut all that stuff together. And then he said these words to me as relieving. I said, what'd you say? The audio's kind of bad, but these are words to live by, okay? He knew I was busy, and listen, this is going to help you. Check this out.
And the more responsibilities he has, he'll always find time to help others. That's biblical.
Now, that's coming from my 93-year-old awesome neighbor.
Yeah.
Love you, buddy.
Hey, take care, buddy.
Thank you. I got to go preach, and pray for me tonight, because I got to preach in 45 minutes.
When?
5 o'clock.
In
Fenton? Yeah, Sunset Hills.
It'll be online,
faithchurch.com.
No, I know where it is. 9 o'clock?
Yeah. No, tonight. Tonight at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, give it up for the 93-year-old guy. I got 2 points. When I'm walking away, he says, the busier a guy is, he has a quality that he still has to do what's right. That's biblical. Then he says to me, which floored me, is it online? You're 93 and you know how to get online? I can't fix my phone. Then I said, faithchurch.com. He said, I know where it's at. Don't you love that kind of attitude? I'm here to tell you that you never, ever should be so busy that you're too busy to go help people in the city. Somebody ought to shout amen. We got to step over people, or we can kneel down and help people. That's what Jesus would call us to do. That's our legacy. We got to do what he wants us to do. That's who you are, Faith Church. That's why we build churches. That's why we help people. It's what Jesus would have us to do. I got 3 minutes and 9 seconds. Hebrews 10:35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to preserve it to do the will of God. Don't throw away your competence when you have a brain surgery, when you have a divorce, in a storm. Keep doing what's right because it's right, and do it with all your might. I realized that rhymed there. I like that. And then see what happens tonight. Come on, somebody. I just had to. Point five, storms are actually opportunities. We wouldn't be talking about his brain surgery. God called them something. They own Mother Models. They discovered Heidi Klum and Ashton Kutcher and the new person who's the cover of like Louis Vuitton and Vogue and all this stuff. They're still discovering people. In fact, I was at a show that they did the other day, and all these beautiful models, and they're coming up to me going, oh my gosh, Pastor David, good to meet you. And I'm like, you know me. They go to our church. They're spotting people. I don't know why they have not discovered me yet. But I'm here to tell you that the enemy spots talent, Weldon. He spots talent, Fairview. He sees that God's going to do something great in your life, and that's why he has fought you so hard. But there is an opportunity that you can discover on the other side called a testimony. Raise your hand if it makes sense to you. All right. John 11:28. After she said these things, she went back and called her sister Mary aside and said, "Teacher, the teacher's here, and he's asking for you." Jesus looked up to the Father, and he says to him, verse 43, this prayer. And then Jesus called with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come out. There's a storm. Looks impossible. He's dead. Lazarus, come out. I've been in that grave in Israel. And it's the tomb literally is like a spiral staircase, a natural one, going up. Lazarus is dead. Jesus said he's going to live again. He's so dead that they've actually mummified his body. He's completely wrapped up. So all of a sudden he says, Lazarus, come forth, because if Jesus said, come forth, every dead body within 1,000 miles would have came out. So all of a sudden Lazarus comes up. Now he's there, but he's still bound. Listen, he's still bound, but he's alive. Then other people, that's us, had to start unwrapping him. And it took time to unwrap the situation. It's going to take more than 4 Sundays of Christmas and Easter for you to get totally delivered. But if you get the right people around you, God will use this opportunity to unwrap you. And that's why I always say, a year from now, if you give God in this church a year, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself, because you will not recognize yourself. You're not going to think the same. You're not going to act the same. You're not going to speak the same. God's got a good plan for you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good, not for evil, to bring you to expect it in. So it's going to take time. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. So as I close, what the devil tries to do is get you to give up. Anybody ever been to Chesterfield, Missouri, right? You ever been there? Anybody see that big dome that says Amini's on the top, right? Amini's. And if you ever need a $100,000 Persian rug, you can go in there and get one. But the story goes that I was on a plane as I quit. The guy was getting ready to be governor, and a bunch of important people are on this jet, go to Spirit. And there's one guy on the plane, and this guy was from a different country, and I immediately prejudged that that guy would not be into me, that guy wouldn't be into Jesus, so I bypassed that guy and went for these Americans to witness to them. After flying to Jeff City or wherever we went and did all this stuff, and we're on the plane that night back, and all the other people are kind of saucing it up, still not interested in the kind of Jesus I was kind of talking about. The one guy that was from a different country that I thought would not ever be interested, he sits next to me and hits me on the leg and says, you'll never believe this by looking at me, but my dad is like Pakistani or something, and my mom, she's an Assembly of God. Which, if you don't know anything about religion, the Assembly of God is like massive Christian, tongue-talking, crazy. And I had just an epiphany moment going, you're kidding me. You can't judge on the outside who it is that you need to be with. And this person said to me, I need to get back in church. I need to, you know, make this. I'm doing some adjustments. And we ended up being great friends. And he ended up really committing his life to Christ. And he's, stand up right now real quick so everybody can see you here. This guy owns Amini's, and he sits there, and we're all friends and families. And he went through some storms. Come on, somebody. But don't judge people by the color of their skin. Don't judge them by where you think they are. You let God put your life on display and tell everybody everywhere about Jesus, about his love, about his church. Somebody ought to give God praise today. God's not done with you. You're going to weather this storm. We're going to make the devil pay. God's going to restore 7 times what the devil stole from you. My advice to you is this, as I quit, because I'm over time. Go to church. Read your Bible. Receive Jesus. And be at church as much as you possibly can. Because I have a question to ask you. Do you feel better now than you did when you came in? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand. Let's try that one more time. If you feel better, every campus, you feel better now. You did, right? What happened? You got reloaded. Devil got backed up. You feel strong in the Lord, and the power is might, because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. And you also learned that you could go to Amini's and buy a rug, and they're not all 100,000. Stretch your hands toward me. Father, I pray right now for Ferguson, for Florissant, for Weldon, and Fairview Heights, and online. God, that together we would be a family of believers that would make a difference. We're not going to step over the problem. We're going to see it as a prepared possibility to change somebody's life. Our church is full of generous people who are loving, who serve God, who honor God, who leave a legacy, who make a mark. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I want you to check this story out.